This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. Thanks so much for listening. 4 million Syrians on the move. You see their faces, their desperate crowds at checkpoints, the hopeless drowned bodies of toddlers, mobilizing the world to try and understand what we are seeing. The history of civilization is the story of vast movements of people to escape oppression, to inflict oppression. This hour, we ask the question, what are we seeing right now?
Change happens.
My friends, nearly everything around you is going to change within this generation.
Offer ideas to change it.
The conditions for such change.
The Constitution is not meant to facilitate change. It is meant to impede change.
What really changed last week?
Game changer.
Change we've got. But what are we seeing right now? The Takeaway's deep look at the unprecedented complexity of this moment in history. Change, populations in motion, instability, assumptions about family, gender, society, and nation states being challenged by technology, a growing population, and the breakdown of traditional institutions. Is this the change Obama and the rest were talking about there? I think not. What are we seeing? We'll talk with brilliant writers Nick Kristof and Cheryl Wu Dunn later this hour. But what do you think we are seeing in the world right now? You, this isn't like the end of a war or the fall of an empire or the invention of the light bulb. It's bigger, but we can see it all unfolding, our gift and curse in this 21st century. Your thoughts at 877-8-MY-TAKE. We'd love to hear from you. We begin with the population motion in the Middle East, though. 4 million migrants have left Syria in the 4-plus years since the civil war began in 2011. We will set that number into some historical context in a moment. But unless someone snaps a heartbreaking picture of a dead 3-year-old, this is a challenge for the world.
We need to look at them as persons, as human beings, and stop referring to them as numbers. These are really people, families, grandfathers, mothers who flee for their life.
That's Lindis Hurum from Doctors Without Borders, who spoke to us while on board the Bourbon Argos, normally an offshore tugboat supply ship that has been refitted for rescuing refugees and migrants in the Mediterranean. Hassan Shibley joins me now. He's Chief Executive Director of the Council on American-Islamic Relations in Florida. Hassan, do you know what it's like to be treated as just a number?
Thankfully not, because I came to this country at a younger age when I was 4 years old. And the reason we came to America from Syria was because my father was receiving a lot of harassment because he wouldn't join the Ba'ath Party in Syria, where he taught at the university there. In fact, he was thrown in jail because he went to the mosque too often. So we came to America at an earlier age and were able to establish ourselves. And it's just, as a Syrian American, I find it very difficult to reconcile how I'm treated because I have this American passport. I can travel the world. I can go where I please just for vacation or for pleasure. And I see my cousins and I see millions of Syrians really struggling and thousands dying to seek a better life. And they can't travel. They can't seek the same opportunities that I have simply because I have a different passport than they do.
Just a personal question. Do you have it in you to do what these people are doing?
You know, I don't think I would have survived in Syria. Very simply, I'm very outspoken. I'm a civil rights attorney here. My whole purpose in life is to challenge oppression and challenge injustice. And even where I am in America right now, I get attacked by extreme anti-Muslim bigots in this country. And I also get targeted and threats from groups like ISIS. And that's here in America. So I'm sure had I been in Syria right now, I think I would have had a lot of enemies and either would have been attacked by them or forced to flee. So I'm very lucky, as I said, and I don't believe I should be entitled to any special treatment simply because of the passport that I have. And
but Hassan, you weren't an attorney when you were 4 years old.
No, I wasn't. But I was, I think, known, from my childhood ages to be questioning authority. In fact, whenever I would visit Syria growing up, I actually planned to move to Syria back in 2006. And the reason I didn't is I was just horrified by the utter corruption that I saw over there in the Syrian government. The fact that we couldn't question authority, we couldn't point out injustice, and that people with wealth and authority could do whatever they please and people could not speak out against it. So I actually went to Syria in the summer of 2006 with the intention of moving back there, and after 3 months said, no way, let me go back to the States. And that's actually what inspired me to become an attorney, because I realized what makes America great is our legal system and our principle of justice and the rule of law, and that's what Syria is lacking. And so I decided to invest my life in contributing to our legal society here in this country.
But Hassan, what if you found yourself in that wave of humanity, and as a 4-year-old, a 6-year-old, depending on how long it would have taken you to cross the Mediterranean to get from Southern Europe to Western Europe and then across the Atlantic to the United States, what would it have taken out of you? What would it have required from you that as someone with survivor's guilt has to really calculate as you look at these pictures?
Well, I think the Syrian people are very determined, are very resilient, and I think that's just a reflection of human nature. And I think these people, that especially those that are refugees, those that have survived the atrocities of the Assad regime, survived the atrocities of ISIS, and had to give up everything they ever lived for, all their life, their possessions, their family members, their relatives, to seek security. That's what they're seeking. They're not seeking luxuries. They're not seeking the wealth of Europe or the wealth of the U.S. They're seeking just to be able to sleep at night without having to fear being decapitated by a terrorist group or being blown up by Assad's bombs. So they're seeking survival. And because of that, I think they have a lot that they can offer and a new appreciation for life. And I think not only will they benefit by seeking a new life in Europe, but I really believe Europe and the U.S. will benefit by having some of the most ingenious and resourceful people contribute positively to society, because they're going to come, they're going to start businesses, they're going to contribute to society. In fact, some of America's greatest people were Syrian immigrants. Steve Jobs, who founded one of the most profitable company in the world now, Apple, is the son of a Syrian immigrant. And I think what they've been through will only give them a stronger appreciation for life and help them contribute better. I am already in touch right now. We've actually decided to open my house up to refugee families. And the refugee families that are coming, they were media producers, they were a mega businessman over there in Syria, and now they want to come and start fresh here. And I think they have a lot that they can contribute to society because of their experience, not in spite of their experience.
Let's talk a little bit about what these pieces of paper mean. I was looking at the map this morning. The people from Syria are crawling out of a territory that was originally traced by, I suppose, sort of biblical, lines on a map. For centuries, it was part of the Ottoman Empire. And then, in the 20th century, it's really a territory that's created by the British Empire and the European Empire. And then they land in Southern Europe, which is a map that was created by the end of World War II, make their way to Western Europe if they can. And if they find sanctuary, that's great. But if they come to America, they're also arriving in a place that, as a map, is the function of political issues that have nothing to do with humanity and are often obstacles for people to get into the country. I mean, Donald Trump is talking about building a giant wall to keep people out. What do these pieces of paper mean in your view, and as you look at these pictures of Syrian refugees?
The world's changed. I don't think we can afford to just be American citizens or Syrian citizens or German citizens. Rather, I think we need to be part of, world citizens. The world's now grown a lot smaller with the advance of technology. And frankly, what happens in America affects what's happening in Syria. What happens in Syria affects what happens in America. And, when problems affect the world, it's not going to simply look at your passport before it affects your life. We have to start seeing, I think, the world more globally and value human life for what it's worth, and not simply because of these artificial boundaries and arbitrary boundaries that have been drawn, and often drawn for the sake of failure. I think what we're seeing today in the Middle East is, in a sense, by design. I mean, it's the result of, as you mentioned, the Sykes-Picot Agreement, which drew often arbitrary lines in the sand, but lines that were drawn with the purpose to create division, lines that were drawn to separate minorities like the Kurds and not give them a homeland, lines that were drawn to empower certain minorities to rule over many majorities to create conflict and tension. And not to mention, more recently, the conflict that we're seeing is a direct result of our illegal and baseless invasion and occupation of Iraq, which destabilized the region. So we've contributed significantly, whether we as the Western world, including Europe, or we as America in the last decade, have contributed significantly to the current political crisis in the Middle East. We have to take ownership, and we have to help contribute as well.
Hassan is the chief executive director of the Council on American Islamic Relations in Florida. He joined us from WUSF in Tampa. We reached out to Hassan after he posted on our Facebook page in reaction to the photo of 3-year-old Aylan Kurdi, who drowned crossing the Aegean Sea from Turkey to Greece. He wrote, "When I can travel to Europe to vacation in Paris on a whim, but my cousins cannot enter Europe to escape death by a murderous dictator, something is seriously wrong with this world." Leave your story, share your thoughts at facebook.com/thetakeaway.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.